Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Let's begin as we usually do and come together and spend a few moments in silence together, sharing the same intention to remember the truth, to know, to remember that there is no gap between us and our brothers. We have not separated from Source. We are loved, we are innocent, and there's nothing we could do to change that. Let us connect with our willingness and bring our willingness to the Holy Spirit to know the truth, to not just intellectually know it, but to know it with our bones, know it with our soul, know it on a deep experiential level that we have not left God. And we are innocent and whole. I'm taking a nice deep breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Giving our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was, knowing that we are in the exact moment in time, this moment, everything is as it should be. We are exactly where we need to be for our own growth and learning. So again, taking a nice deep breath in and releasing. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. We are reading a short section tonight, but a very powerful one. If you have the CE edition, the complete and annotated edition by the Circle of Atonement, go to page 829. The subheading says The Secret of Salvation. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, go to chapter 27, part 8, paragraph number 10. It begins with the sentence, "The secret of salvation is but this." In the Sparkle edition, it is page 643, and it's the last full paragraph on the page. And the original edition by Course in Miracles Society is Chapter 27, Part 9, Paragraph 83. So again, our short section tonight is a really important one. And it's going to, we're going to start off with a boom. This statement is big. So let's dive in. This is actually one of my favorite teachings from the Course. And perhaps also one of the most triggering for the ego, which is probably why I like it. All right, let's dive in. The secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. I want to read that one more time. Let it sink in. The secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, this is still true. For you would not react at all to figures in a dream you knew that you were dreaming. Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may. They could have no effect on you unless you failed to recognize it is your dream. This single lesson learned will set you free from suffering, whatever form it takes. And we're going to pause there. It's funny, I've not been congested all day. And we sit down to read the course. And it's like, the ego's like, no, don't read this. That's pretty funny. Okay, so this is a big central teaching in A Course in Miracles. The secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. There is no outer force. There is no outer will that is doing anything out there to us. It is saying that we are doing this unto ourselves. We are dreaming this dream. Whether you take the role of victim or victimizer, if you are the attacker or the recipient, this is still the truth. We are doing this unto ourselves. It goes on to say, whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, this is still true. So take a moment, let's take a moment to try this on, just how sort of vast this is, because this is saying that everything out there in the world, and just turn on the television, turn on the news, just to think about all of the, you know, worldly problems that we have. The Course is saying that this is your dream. You are dreaming this dream. You are the dreamer of this dream. There's nothing out there that's doing anything, that you are dreaming this dream. And it goes on to say that you wouldn't react at all to figures in a dream that you knew you were dreaming. So the best parallel is to think, when I'm sure we've all had nighttime sleeping dreams that have been disturbing or distressing. My husband actually just told me, I think it was yesterday, he was telling me that he had a really disturbing dream, and he woke up and was like, his dad did something in the dream, and he was like really upset at his dad, and he wanted to even just tell his dad about the dream, and he was like, why would I do that? Like, it was just a dream. As we are having those nighttime dreams and then we wake up, that whole dream happened in our mind. You know, whatever happened in that dream, even if we were being the victimizer or if we were being the victim, we don't argue or doubt that that whole dream was in our mind. So, you know, we're not going to get in reality, you know, upset at that person that who was maybe acting out in our dreams. The dream was in our mind. And so the Course is saying that literally what we're experiencing in this world is a dream that we're having, but we're safe at home in God. We are actually, as sleeping sons of God, safe at home. We have not left. Part of our mind is sleeping, and it's dreaming this wild and crazy dream down here. So by recognizing it as our dream, this is where I talk so much. I talk about this in my book, and I just talk about this in general, this idea of taking radical responsibility. I don't understand how, you know, this must be my dream. I don't understand how what's happening out there, you know, maybe if somebody is doing something to me and I'm being victimized, I don't understand how that's coming from me or from my dream. It certainly doesn't seem that way at all. But I'm willing to experiment with the idea that it is somehow. And that's where then I will give it to the Holy Spirit and I'll say, I don't know how this works. I don't see how, you know, I have a role in this, but I'm still willing to take responsibility. Show me how I'm dreaming this dream. You know, here you go. And in doing that type of work, I've had really profound experiences of recognizing that I am the dreamer of this dream. It just happened. The example that I shared with you all a couple weeks ago, I don't remember if I shared it last week or the week before, about my dad, where I was, after I got back from Portugal, at the very end of the trip, I got a head cold. And after I was like sick at home for like a week and a half, my dad calls up and he's like, you're still sick? You should be on an antibiotic. It's going to go into your lungs. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and like going into fear. And it was, I did not like it. Like, I was just like, stop. Like right now, I had a fear thought in my mind, like, why am I not better yet? Why have I not bounced right back? I could point the finger and blame my dad and say, this is what, you know, you did to me. But looking deeper, let's go a little deeper. Like Paula said, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, if we look a little deeper, I had that fear thought in my mind first. And my dad showed up and agreed to be a witness for that thought that was already in my mind. So this is playing out on so many unconscious levels, and it's up to us on the spiritual pathway to take what we see to the Holy Spirit and be willing to see it differently, be willing to be taught that we are dreaming this dream. So this is a big one. I'm wondering if anybody has any comments or questions so far. Any ego stuff coming up?
I
remember
have.
Radical honesty. Yes, Christine.
It's my ego is saying no,
mm-hmm.
This is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Studying the course, I know that this is true, but it's like I don't want to believe it. I don't
mm-hmm.
want to take responsibility for the dream,
mm-hmm.
my dream.
Mm-hmm. Bravo, and good for you for that radical honesty. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, the fact that you can touch that and you can say, like, I can see, I can feel that I don't want to take responsibility for my dream. Right there, now you have that opportunity to say, oh, Holy Spirit, here's my unwillingness. I'm feeling it. You know, I can access it right now. I can sense it. I'm giving it to you. I'm willing to hand this over to you. I'm willing to experience a miracle instead. So it's not that our willingness to do this needs to be perfect. The Course actually says it's the Holy Spirit's purpose to atone for our unwillingness by His perfect willingness. So our job is really just to notice, like, oh, here's my unwillingness, or here's my tiny bit of willingness. I'm maybe 1% willing and 99% unwilling. It's a great thing to be able to see that, because then now you can take that to the Holy Spirit. Now you're still loosening, you know, the grip that we have on us hanging on to the ego. So that's good work. That is good work, Christine. I appreciate your honesty. It's tough because, I mean, I just think about so many issues in the world with racism, homophobia, climate change, child abuse, child sexual abuse, like, you know, all these things where there are very clear victim and victimizer roles, and this is saying that we are literally dreaming all of this up together to keep the ego, to keep the sense of small self intact and in place. So it's a tough one. If you're feeling that resistance, I encourage you to, you don't have to say it out loud on the call, but I encourage you to own it and to be willing to look at that with the Holy Spirit. Those are the points in where we are cracking open, you know, the closed loop of the ego thought system to let the light in. So if you feel that resistance, that's awesome. Acknowledge it and bring it to the Holy Spirit. Other comments or questions? Or I'll keep reading.
Hey, Colleen.
Okay. Oh, yes, John.
You know, that's such a huge concept. You know, when you look at the things that you were talking about, war, child abuse, just the horrors that happen in the world,
mm-hmm.
and to say, oh, this is my this is of my making.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is what we're saying here, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one of those things that's sort of too big for me to wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
And my ego wants me to go in and figure out how the heck that could be true, or
mm-hmm.
how it could be false.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's trying to make sense of it one way or another,
mm-hmm.
which really just takes me deeper into the story. It puts me deeper down that rabbit hole of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it steers me away from the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that the solution is not fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get mixed up and I think, oh, well, what, how the hell can I fix this?
Mm-hmm.
This is unfixable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at the point where I'm like, you know, it is unfixable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my job to fix the dream,
mm-hmm.
to fix the unfixable.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to remove the obstacles to love, which is all that confusion about how to fix it with everything but love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at the point where it's like, okay, my job in all this is to when I think of this, when I meditate on this, when I, whatever I'm doing with this, is to throw love at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. That's where my responsibility to the world's problem. Now, I may, if I'm that type of person that wants to go out and volunteer and do all the things in the world that somebody may do, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But my job as a course student is to recognize where I'm not thinking of this situation with love. And
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean, oh, I love this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It means I'm thinking of it and expressing as much love into it as I can possibly muster.
Yes. Yes. You said that so beautifully. I'm on the same page, and it feels like I don't even
and there's
feel like
hope in that.
There's a lot of hope
in that, because the opposite of that is complete despair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And lost in the problem, unfixable.
Yes. And what you just described, a couple of thoughts came up as you were speaking. The thought of the world being unfixable can be really discouraging and really depressing. So, like, why even bother? You know, what is this? But here's the thing. If you look at the history of the world, we've always been loaded with lots of problems. And trying to fix the problem at the level of form has never worked. It's just gone on and taken new shapes. Maybe problems have morphed and, you know, changed into like bigger or other problems, but they've still only been there because we can't solve the problem at the level at which it exists. It has to be solved at a different level. And so what you just said, that our job, I love what you said, to throw love at it. Like, as miracle workers, as course students, that is it. Our job is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of love's presence in our own mind. And we do that not just by being isolated, you know, sitting home and just, which we can certainly do. I did this for many years, like just doing our workbook lessons. But we are asked in the course, you know, to take this and to see our brothers with love, to be loving, to have, to extend love to others in the world, because that is how they awaken, and that is how we awaken too. It's cyclical. It's as I see the truth in my brother, as I see the truth in any politician that triggers me, as I see that truth, it's touching something deep in them, but it's also awakening that in me. So that is how we will quote unquote fix, is through love and through returning. I was just going to say returning to love, the title of Marianne Williamson's book. That is the answer. That is 100% the answer. And like you said, it doesn't mean that we don't take some sort of action in the world. If we get quiet and we feel strongly moved to volunteer, to, you know, donate, to whatever. We our job also is to be checking in and receiving guidance. Where are we receiving spirit-directed, you know, cute calls to action, essentially? And, you know, we throw love at those places, too. If we are volunteering or, you know, working in some way out in the world, how can we be the most loving there? Because I've seen some, quote-unquote, peace rallies. Like, you know, I've seen a couple of rallies supposedly for peace that were pretty darn nasty. Like, some of the things on their signs were not very nice against the, quote-unquote, others. So what is that doing? That's just the same – that's just the other side of the same ego coin. If we're fighting something with, like, you know, upset and fear and anger, and that's not to diminish the feelings that, you know, we need to honor when they come up, but the answer ultimately is love. Throwing love at it, just like you said, that is your job. Mm-hmm. That is it. Thank you for that, John. That was really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you highlighted to the piece about, like, how it can seem like, you know, I don't remember now exactly. You were just indicating that, like, it can seem totally hopeless was the word that you used.
Hopeless.
And it's not. This is incredibly hopeful with the fact that, like, oh my gosh, love is accessible to every single one of us. Every single one of us. It just takes that willingness to want to go there. My current learning, there's a big part of the course. I feel like we may have talked about this several weeks back, about one of the greatest lessons that the teacher of God has to learn is how to not get angry at our brother's magic thoughts. And let me tell you, I have some family members that I'm really good at getting angry at their magic thoughts. And so this teaching has been really, really helpful for me with recognizing that, oh, wait a second, here in these relationships in my family closest to me, the ones that are the most triggering, this is where I'm being called to also, you know, remove those blocks and to be able to extend love. And if I can do that with family members, oh, I could do that with anybody. Thank you. All right. How about we read the next paragraph? The Holy Spirit will repeat this one inclusive lesson of deliverance until it has been learned, regardless of the form of suffering that brings you pain. Whatever hurt you bring to him, he will make answer with this very simple truth. For this one answer takes away the cause of every form of sorrow and of pain. The form affects his answer not at all, for he would teach you but the single cause of all of them, no matter what their form. And you will understand that miracles reflect the simple statement, I have done this thing, and it is this I would undo. So in other words, in that moment of just tiny willingness of being able to touch this idea that I'm dreaming this dream, somehow I've done this, I don't intellectually have to understand. And if we are sensing the slightest amount of guilt, this is where, again, this, like, radical mindfulness has to come in, because if we sense the slightest bit of guilt within ourselves that we're responsible for our dream, that means the ego is taking hold and there's a misperception there. So this is actually meant to undo guilt, not to increase it. If we can see that we are responsible, that this is just a dream, that we've not actually left our source, there's absolutely no cause for guilt whatsoever. So I just encourage all of us to be on the lookout, you know, keep up our guilt radar. If we sense it in the tiniest bit, it's a misperception, because this is not a cause for increasing guilt. This is actually the doorway to miracles, to freedom. The story that I have in my book, and that I've repeated probably 1,000 times at this point, is that story in my book about the nurse, where, just like the scenario that I just explained with my dad, the nurse was like, oh, why are you in? And I was like, oh, you know, this symptom. And she's like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. Don't you pass out on me, when she was drawing blood. And then I almost, you know, passed out. I could have said, that's a lousy nurse. But instead, I chose to say, okay, I don't know how I called this forth, but somehow this is coming from my dream, and I'm willing to take responsibility. And now, when I had to go back for follow-up testing, I want to experience Witnesses for Love this time. And that was the time when I walked in, and it was my college roommate's mom who was behind the desk. I thought she was just a receptionist, had no idea that she was the nurse, and she walked me in the back without my asking, did the lab work. It was totally fine. And then as I was leaving, she said, Corinne, I got called in 30 minutes before you showed up. That, to me, was like such a profound learning moment that I'm dreaming this dream. I am. We're all dreaming our individual dreams as sons of God, but there's, you know, this collective piece too, and that was a very profound learning moment for me. So the answer here is to bring whatever form of suffering, whatever brings us pain, in whatever form that takes, to bring that to the Holy Spirit. Whatever hurt you bring to Him, He will make answer with this very simple truth. So that is our small part, is to take it to the Holy Spirit. And that's what it'll go on to say in the next paragraph. So let me, before I do that, anybody want to share anything? I'm seriously so amused that I that I got congested right before reading. Okay, next paragraph. Bring then all forms of suffering to Him who knows that everyone is like the rest. I want to say that one more time. So this is, again, saying we're going to bring any form of suffering to the Holy Spirit. Bring then all forms of suffering to Him who knows that everyone, every form of suffering is like the rest. He sees no differences where none exist, and He will teach you how each one is caused. None has a different cause from all the rest, and all of them are easily undone by but a single lesson truly learned. Salvation is a secret you have kept but from yourself. The universe proclaims it so, but to its witnesses you pay no heed at all, for they attest the thing you do not want to know. They seem to keep it secret from you, yet you need but learn you chose but not to listen, not to see. So in other words, salvation is not a secret whatsoever. It's a secret that we have kept from ourselves. We've not wanted to learn it. We've wanted to totally deny that we have any responsibility in this whatsoever, because, hey, again, to the ego's ears, number one, it just doesn't want us to acknowledge that, but number two, it also sounds preposterous from a worldly perspective. But you know what I want to add in right now? I was listening to Marie Forleo. I have been following her and her work for quite some time, and she said something just so awesome, and I'm taking it to another level. She said that everything, she talks a lot about like business stuff, and she's coming out with a new book. She's a Jersey girl, and so I just I've always just found her very, very fun. She said that everything that you see began as a thought. So in other words, iPhones, you know, that began as a thought. Your laptop, your telephone, the electricity power. Like if you look around at everything that's man-made, she was talking about man-made things. If you look around, everything, all of it began as a thought. And then what did we do? But we made our thought. We had this idea, this inspiration. And then we made it in form. Taking that, you know, to a deeper level, well, you know, is it then so far-fetched to actually think that, like, you know, thought then produced the world we see in a way we don't understand, you know, because we couldn't make it with our two hands. But on a deep, deep level, you know, within us, everything began as a thought, and we could include, you know, the world in that statement. So I just thought that was a really fun way to think about it. What else do I want to say about this paragraph, if anything? Yeah, so just salvation is no secret. It's no secret. We've simply kept this from ourselves, haven't wanted to look. But by going in this direction of taking radical responsibility and bringing all of our pain and sorrow to the Holy Spirit to learn that we are the dreamer of this dream, that's the door to freedom. That's the door to miracles and to peace and happiness. So,
Corinne?
Yes.
I know my niece was sexually abused at 2.
Mm.
I have a hard time believing that she could have.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly where you're going. Do you want to finish or do you want me to share my thoughts?
Share your thoughts, because I really, you know, I really believe the course.
Mm-hmm.
But I have known people that really have lived very, very difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I used to think, well, my God is a loving God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is human beings. Well, yes, it can be our egocentric thought system.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take I can't believe, say, a 2-year-old
mm-hmm.
that they're bringing this on, or
right. Or, I mean, or any child with any, I mean, sexual abuse, animal, again, like, the list goes on, but I hear you, and I'm so sorry to hear that happened to her. Now, and I hear you that you say that you, you know, believe the course. This is a sticky area, and this is where we have to go deeper, that we have these, so, there's certain things that, like, consciously, that are, like, you know, maybe just, like, a little bit in the unconscious that, like, certainly we, you know, call forth in our experience because, like, you know, I was a jerk to that person and because I wanted attention, you know, and I had this need for attention in the back of my mind. And so I acted out to, like, get that attention. Like, that's what I'm referring to on, like, you know, an individual level in terms of, like, you know, being responsible. In the example that you're giving, this is where I think I said this last week, like, we have to take this back a few layers deeper into this idea that the moment that we decided to separate from God before we incarnated, the ego wrote this entire script. It dreamt up in an instant all this crazy stuff that would happen and took it seriously. I think we read about that last week, about remembering to not laugh, to taking it seriously. So it's not like, I mean, we're not blaming the victim. Like, that's not helpful. Obviously, to the person who's been victimized, it's not loving on our behalf. We're not, you know, I don't think we're practicing the course at all when we're blaming the victim or telling somebody that they called it upon themselves. We have to remember that all of the awful stuff that has been dreamt up was dreamt up the moment that we decided to separate from God, because it would be the most compelling reason to believe that this is the truth, that this world is the truth, because it hurts, because awful things happen here. If I, you know, were abused or, you know, had something terrible happen to me, of course that's a witness that this body has got to be real, because it freaking hurts, because, you know, it causes pain and suffering, and there's a victim and a victimizer. So these bad things happen because we dreamt them up on this collective and or, like, somewhat individual way before we incarnated, because it would be our best shot at keeping ourselves asleep. Now, so think back to that script. Rather than thinking of, like, you know, an individual 2-year-old, you know, quote-unquote, causing something, that's not, they're 2-year-old. Like, of course that's, you know, of course that's not the case. We have to think deeper than that in terms of how it is that we are collectively calling this forth. So the answer, you know what, some of what's coming to mind for me, I want to give you all a little bit of a inside insider bit of information. If anybody listens to the Circle of Atonement podcast, a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was in June, they came out with a podcast on what is God's role in the trials and tragedies of the world. And my friend Emily is one of the co-hosts, and I'm friends with Robert Perry. But I'm good friends with Emily. I just, you know, I'm acquainted with Robert. And at the very, very end of the show, they were talking about something that, like, it didn't get conveyed, I think, in the way they wanted it conveyed, and it could be misinterpreted. So I was like, hold on. I don't like the way that you guys did this. You need to clarify this, because the way that they talked about at the very end of the podcast about the Holy Spirit, it sounded like it could be misinterpreted that the Holy Spirit or God teaches us lessons, and that's not at all the case. So their follow-up podcast, to clarify that, is What is God's Role in the Trials and Tragedies of the World, and it's part two. It's their most recent podcast. It could be worth listening to. I'm just throwing that out there for everybody. I thought they did a really good job in explaining that it's kind of what we're talking about tonight. Like, we are responsible. There's this individual and collective, you know, piece. Why do bad things happen to people, you know, innocent people, children? Like, they touch on all this. And one of the things I remembered that Robert said, and this is what I was just going to say in response, is that not only, you know, the way out, the way to healing, the fact that something so awful, you know, happened to, did you say that was your niece or your, I'm sorry, Christine, I forget.
It was
your relative, your niece.
Yes.
You know, a way of healing that is to come to see that not only is she innocent, but the abuser is innocent too, by seeing the truth in that, you know, in that abuser. So I just wanted to put that piece out there about healing. So I would recommend tuning into that podcast, because it's good. It's also uncompromising, because the Course is clearly saying, you know, that we are dreaming this dream. But it's not, if we're getting into victim blaming and thinking that that one person called that one experience upon themselves, you know, there's a conscious way that that can play out, or semi-unconscious, like I just said, with, like, you know, I had an intention in my head to get more attention, and so I acted out and have to clean it up. But there's, you know, there's this plays itself out on a deeper level too, the moment that we decided to separate from God. The ego wrote that script to keep us asleep, because these would be compelling witnesses to stay asleep. And it's our role to be able to take that responsibility and say that, you know, this is our dream. So even if we're seeing it, rather than say or think something unloving, that how did they call that upon themselves, if we're seeing it, if we're just even a witness, it's part of our dream, right? So there now we can take that active role in saying, like, you know, this is somehow coming from our sleeping split mind, and I'm willing to hand this over to the Holy Spirit because I'm seeing it in my own experience. Does that help at all, Christine? This is a loaded topic.
It actually, metaphysically, people sometimes, you know, a person comes down with cancer or some, and they almost get blamed for.
Yes.
The first lesson about nothing. Well, I don't know if it's the first lesson, but it's all about nothing I see is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And I do agree that everybody has a shadow side.
Mm-hmm.
We could take it that ego side.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the dream.
It is. And one of the things that Robert and Emily were talking about in this most recent podcast, I can't remember now who the person is that they referenced, but they said that years ago, I believe there was some gentleman, they say his name, I don't remember who it was, his wife got cancer.
Ken Wilber?
Paul,
yeah.
Did you hear the podcast?
I did. It's really good.
It's really good. Who was Paul Wilber? Do you remember?
Ken Wilber's.
Or Ken Wilber, sorry.
he's a philosopher. Yeah, of our time.
So his wife.
I have a question. How do I get this podcast?
It's on iTunes, and it is on, what's that other audio hosting?
You can find it on
SoundCloud.
YouTube, too. That might be the easy.
Oh, is it on YouTube also?
I actually have an Apple, so I can do iTunes.
Okay, good. So go to iTunes and search for Circle of Atonement, and there, of course, Miracles Radio will come up. And if you need, you can always email me, and I can send you the link directly if that would be helpful. Paul, tell me if I'm getting this correct, but Ken Wilber's wife got cancer. And they actually had to, ban all of the Course in Miracles students from coming over to their house because they were all like, why did you call this upon yourself? What did you do? Like, you can choose again. Like, not loving. Like, it was not helpful to her at all. And they had to, prevent them from coming to visit. Am I getting that right, Paul?
Yeah, no, that's what happened.
Yeah,
they were bringing more guilt than anything than love to her.
Yeah, that's not loving at all. Right there and then they are not practicing A Course in Miracles because, yes, they're just increasing guilt that's blaming the victim and totally not helpful at all. So, Paul, I'm really glad to hear that you listened to the podcast and you found it as helpful as I did. So it's definitely worth taking a listen. Emily had actually asked me if she wanted my name in her intro because I was kind of like, you guys have to do another follow-up podcast. And I was like, well, I haven't listened to it yet, so I don't know if I'm going to agree with what you all say, so leave my name out of it. But luckily, I like it, so. very funny. This is good stuff. Did I just hear Deidre?
Hi, yes.
Hi, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, something that helps me with, all the craziness that happens, situations where, you were just mentioning around, course students and somebody having cancer and then something happening and it's not helpful or children being abused or all of these horrific things that are just, so not in alignment with love at all. Mm-hmm. It's just to remember that God didn't create any of that stuff. There was a time when I was studying the course that thought really was scary to me, but now it's actually really peaceful. To remember that love or God didn't create any of that crap. So I don't even have to try to figure out where it originated from. I just have to focus on what's true. And that is super helpful to me.
I am so on the same page, Deidre. Focus on what's true. You don't have to figure it all out. And I agree with you that, it was a scary idea in the beginning, but now it's yes. Yes.
Yeah. Even all the victimizer stuff, all of that stuff, if I'm just able to remember that none of that was created by God, if someone is acting out of alignment with truth and love, it means they're out of alignment in their behavior. It doesn't mean that the truth of them has shifted at all.
Right.
So I don't have to figure any of that out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to understand why the ego script is the way that it is,
mm-hmm.
why it was
because
written
it's,
that way.
Because it's not understandable because it's insane.
Yeah, exactly. So,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, this is Christy. Yeah, I wanted to add something to that, you know, with how it's not loving to blame the victim, you know, like how if someone had cancer, telling them, you know, how did you bring this on yourself? And what came up for me is we often so often beat ourselves up and bring guilt on ourselves. It goes the same way, you know, towards ourselves and others, you know, like noting the thing with myself. And I just wrote down, stop increasing guilt on yourself and others, you know, like by, because my ego will want to go into trying to figure out how am I creating this picture or why is my relationship with this person not working? How am I doing that? And you really can't figure it out through your mind. It's like a downward spiral and
yeah.
or beating yourself up for it, like, or trying to trace back to the thought that you thought that caused it originally. It's insanity. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Kind of
it's so true.
Helpful.
So yeah, and that was really, really helpful how you just said that. Yeah, trying to trace it all like that would drive us bonkers, which would be the ego would approve of. Because then we're getting, you know, wrapped up in all sorts of ways that are still keeping us, you know, we're getting wrapped up in thoughts that are still keeping us away from the truth. So the ego would smile approvingly. It says something to that effect in the course about, you know, not having to follow fear through all of its intuitive roots. So like what Deidre said before about just focusing on what is true. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Christy. Yeah, our ego wants to figure it out, but it wants to know. And Nook Sanchez, her voice is coming to my mind at the moment because when her partner, Tomas, passed and she went into a very, very deep, dark crisis, grief, depression, and avoid, like she got guidance. Do you want to understand or do you want peace? It's one or the other. of course, you know, learning from the course and understanding the course, that can bring peace as we get it on this, you know, this understanding level, but on a deep, deep level, do you want to understand, like you want to figure it out with your ego or do you want peace? I want the peace. And then I think paradoxically, sometimes understanding comes. Okay, let's read the... Oh, Deidre, were you done? Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, it just... It reminds me of that famous Albert Einstein quote that talks about you can never solve a problem by the same way of thinking that created it.
Yeah.
And I think that's so, like, profound because, like, the ego's insanity is always the one trying to interpret and understand things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the same thought system that created the seeming problem,
mm-hmm.
where God is saying you don't have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
They're already solved. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Let's go ahead and read the final paragraph of chapter 27. I'm on the last paragraph, right? Yeah. How differently will you perceive the world when this is recognized? When you forgive the world your guilt. Wait, did I skip? No, I'm on the right paragraph, right?
Yeah, you're on the right one.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. I'll start over. How differently will you perceive the world when this is recognized? When you forgive the world your guilt, you will be free of it. Its innocence does not demand your guilt, nor does your guiltlessness rest on its sin. This is the obvious, a secret kept from no one but yourself. And it is this that has maintained you separate from the world and kept your brother separate from you. Now need you but to learn that both of you are innocent
or guilty. The one thing that is impossible is that you be unlike each other, that they both be true. That is the only secret yet to learn, and it will be no secret. You are healed. So if we're seeing our brother as guilty, it's reflecting a belief in our own minds that we are guilty. And forgive the world your guilt, and you will be free of it. Everything, as the Course says, is an outward picture of an inward state of mind. I have 5 minutes, and if it's okay, I would love to read this commentary, although it might take a little, let's see if I can just do it in 5 minutes. Is that okay? Did anybody else have a burning question? Okay, let's do it. This is the commentary that accompanies this section. So you don't have this anywhere in your books. This is just my email from Course Companion. So let me just share this with you. Normally when I hear the Course, this is Robert Perry writing, normally when I hear the Course say that I am responsible for my suffering, I hear the accent being on the fact that my interpretation of outer events is what causes me to suffer. Here, though, the accent is definitely on the idea that I am responsible for the outer events themselves. What is this section asking me to do? As I am faced with my various trials each day, money problems, squabbling children, conflicts at work, etc., I need to bring them to the Holy Spirit. In my view, all these problems are quite individual, being comprised of unique elements and requiring unique solutions. Yet from the Holy Spirit's perspective, their differences in form are completely irrelevant. No matter what the problem, he will come back with the same answer for each one. You are doing this unto yourself. What does he mean by that? He means that, despite how objectively real this world appears to be, this is quite literally a dream. And even though the dream as a whole is collective, my little part of the dream, the events that greet my eyes and reach my ears, is being dreamt by me. After I wake from a dream at night, I realize two things. First, everything that happened in the dream came out of my mind, no matter how independent from me it may have seemed. Second, the dream wasn't real, and therefore I don't need to react to it emotionally. Since my daytime experience is also a dream, these two points are true for it as well. How it specifically works was described in the previous section, so last week's reading. The world you see depicts exactly what you thought you did, except now you think that what you did is being done to you. That's a quote from our reading last week. In other words, I believe that I sinned originally by separating from God and then subsequently in all my little separations, and I therefore project a dream in which I get what I quote-unquote deserve, in which all the chickens come home to roost. I love that there's chicken idiom in here. I'm not aware of any of this, of course. So when a dream figure, a person's body, gets in my face and starts reading me the riot act, I see that person as guilty so that I can feel innocent. Little do I realize that this is my dream. My own unconscious dynamics hired her to do just that. They cast her in that role and gave her the script. If you are producing a play that you also star in and an actor that you've hired verbally thrashes you as per the script, do you get angry at her, or do you clap your hands and say, bravo? After all, she did exactly what you hired her to do. This implies a completely different way of walking through life. We can walk through our lives reminding ourselves, this is my dream, this is my dream. In the same way that we would in a lucid dream at night, we would remain cognizant that what we see before us is really just a mental world, that these events aren't happening in reality, meaning in heaven, we would realize that everything we see is spilling out of our own unconscious, or as I would say, your sleeping split mind. Thus, if someone attacks us, we can step back and observe with curiosity, even amusement, what our unconscious has just kicked up for us. We can realize that this is our ancient guilt manifesting in a form we believe we deserve. This is our primordial attack coming home to roost. We are doing this unto ourselves. And realizing that, we can forgive the person whose body just did precisely what we asked it to do. We can realize that behind the dream figures are just two dreamers, two brothers,
It's not the case that one of us has to be guilty for the other to be innocent. Rather, both of us are innocent together. So I'll stop there because that's the gist of the whole thing. And I just thought that that was so well said with the parallel of sleeping dreams and waking dreams and hiring witnesses to reflect, you know, the unconscious guilt in our mind, which we can be willing to see past by giving it to the Holy Spirit to recognize that this is just also a sleeping son of God and it's a call for love instead of an attack. We can see it that way instead. Wasn't that fun? I really like that. Okay, any final comments or questions? Or insights or takeaways?
Maureen?
I just love how timely the reading is, or seems to be every week. Like, it just,
right?
You know, you can bring your life and apply it to it, and it's like, wow.
Right. It's always, I always like, when that happens, I always am just like, okay, thanks, Jesus, like chuckling, you know.
Like, yep.
he knows where we're all at, so
yep.
Here's our reading. Yep, all perfectly orchestrated. Thanks, Paul. Christine?
Yeah, just remind me again, it's Course Companions or the podcast?
Those are two different things. There's the podcast, which is free. That's on iTunes. Course Companions, I think it's .com, or let me just see.
Course.
CourseCompanions.com. That's different. That's their membership site.
Okay. I want, the podcast is called?
It's called A Course in Miracles Radio, but it's easiest, it'll come up easiest in your search results if you type in Circle of Atonement. That's their organization.
Okay.
And if you can't find it, just email me and I'll get it to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for everything that you shared and for holding the space. I love you all, and I will see you next week.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye.